with Hans von Spakovsky, Senior Legal Fellow for the Heritage Foundation and former FEC Commissioner. Hans, good morning. Welcome back to Mornings on the Mall. So glad to have you.
Well, thanks for having me back.
So we're hearing that the Democrats now are pushing to put some kind of immigration bill and attach it to the year-end spending bill. Will Republicans go for that?
Well, hopefully they won't, because when you provide amnesty, all you do is attract even more illegal aliens. You know, the 1986 amnesty that was provided in the immigration bill that year did exactly that. But look, there's another issue here, and that is the image projected of these DACA beneficiaries is just not right when you actually look at their demographics. What I mean by that is, you know, these people are all projected as people who came here when they were two or three. They don't speak the language of their home countries. If you actually look at the beneficiaries under DACA, that's not the case at all. I mean, first of all, you could be a DACA beneficiary as long as you got here before your 16th birthday. Well, anybody who's got teenagers knows that by the time you're 15, they're fluent in English, they know all about the culture of the country, so the idea that it's a hardship to send someone from Mexico back who came here when they were 15, who obviously speaks Spanish and knows the Mexican culture, that somehow that's a hardship, I mean, that's just not the case.
Also, there's a huge disparity between what we hear of the idea of a Dream Act and DACA recipients receiving protections, right? I mean, there's a number associated with DACA, which is like, what, 700,000 people?
Right.
And meanwhile, a Dream Act is millions more, no? I mean, it seems like there's an intentional conflation of the two terms, especially by the Democrats, in order to say, we need a Dream Act, we need to protect DACA recipients. Well, those are two different things.
Yeah, no, the most of the bills that have been pushed by the Democrats for Dreamers would have a much larger population. And even those numbers aren't the total you get. Again, let me give you an example of what I mean. Yeah, there's about 700,000 DACA beneficiaries. But look, if they're all provided with citizenship, the average naturalized citizen then sponsors, under the sponsorship rules, about 3.5 more aliens to be citizens. Mexicans actually have the highest rate. They sponsor about 6.5 people. 75% of the beneficiaries under the DACA program were Mexican. So take whatever number is being thrown out in the press and then triple, quadruple it or higher, and you'll get the total number of aliens who eventually
right.
are going to get citizenship.
And the problem with a chain migration system like that is that it undermines the core point of an immigration system, which is to assess the merits of who comes into our country and why. Because like once you have like one person in, then the overwhelming majority are just people who are just brought in because they know a guy. That doesn't exactly work to the United States' benefit.
No, it doesn't. In fact, look, the DACA beneficiaries, only about 49% of them have a high school education, despite the fact that the majority of them are adults. And English fluency was not a requirement. I found an estimate that at least a quarter of the DACA beneficiaries are functionally illiterate in English. So what all of that means is that you would be giving citizenship to people who are low-skilled, low-educated, and barely functional in English. And what's that going to mean? Huge costs to American taxpayers in government benefits.
Yeah, I'm seeing some numbers here that were announced yesterday about illegal border crossings dropping to record levels. Very, very few illegal border crossings happening relative to where they were during the Obama administration. Why do you think that is? Why are fewer people attempting to get into the United States during the Trump era?
I think it's very clear. The word has definitely gone out, particularly south of the border, that there's no longer a government encouraging people to come into the country. Look, the Obama administration had basically said, look, you get across the border, we're not going to bother you. The number of people that they were deporting from the interior had also dropped dramatically during the Obama administration, and now folks, like I said, they know they're not going to get the kind of breaks they got during Obama, so they're not bothering to come across.
So just merely enforcing the law has the effect of precluding for people attempting to break it?
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
It's weird. It's really weird.
Yeah, I don't understand people who can say we need to fix our immigration system, our immigration laws. I'm like, well, maybe we should try enforcing them first and then see if they're broken.
You know, you are exactly right. This idea that our system is broken, I hate that term. It's constantly used by so-called reformers. And no, the problem has been for decades a lack of political will in Washington to actually enforce the law.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think about this SECURE Act being floated by Chuck Grassley, the Security Enforcement and Compassion United in Reform, or SECURE Act? 3-year work permits to DACA illegals in exchange for ending chain migration, E-Verify, closing asylum loopholes, penalizing sanctuary cities.
I think it's a key mistake to offer an amnesty program now before you have actually put the resources into enforcing our immigration laws. Remember, that's why Ronald Reagan agreed to that deal back in 86, because he was promised exactly the same thing by Congress. Hey, we're going to secure the border, we're going to enforce the law now in exchange, agree to amnesty. Well, amnesty was given, but the other parts of it, the parts of the deal evaporated.
Another lesson that Republicans might be able to derive from Ronald Reagan. Thank you, Hans von Spakovsky. Really appreciate you stopping by Mornings on the Mall.
Sure thing.
It's 844 on WMAL. Next era.